Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Glad you're with us. And we are really excited today. Can you feel it? I can feel it. I'm very excited because Neil Godfrey's on the line. And this is a really neat opportunity for us. Neil is a best-selling author. And she's written the book, Money Doesn't Grow on Trees. Boy, it doesn't. Although the kids think it does. Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, A Parent's Guide to Raising Financially Responsible Children. And she's also done some virtual games for the Apple iPads and little smartphone things. And I'm glad to talk with her about that a little bit. And let me give you a proper introduction. It's not one book. It's 27 New York Times number one best-selling author, 27 books empowering families and their children to take charge of their financial lives. She makes money and lessons fun, which is good because then the kids will be engaged. And I'm really excited to be able to talk with her about it. She's comes to us with 40 years in the financial world. That's just remarkable. And she began her career as one of the first female executives in banking at Chase. Very cool. And she's been on numerous radio, television appearances, Oprah, Good Morning America, The Today Show, CNN, and here we have her on Real Money with David Holland. We're very glad to have her. Neil, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Excellent. Well, I'm glad you're here. And let's dive in, if you don't mind. I want to start with what we can maybe work a little backwards or forward, depending on how you look at it. I want to dive in. There's a lot we can talk about, but tell me about the app for that. Tell me about what you've done on the Apple platform for helping kids be able to access these games and how that helps them with learning about money. Because I've got three.
Oh, okay.
Three that need to be trained.
Your test group there.
Yes.
What's really important about this is that the way the kids are listening and interacting is through these mobile video gaming apps. So that's what we did. We created three of these. And what they do is teach the kids earning, saving, spending, and sharing. And what is cool is that while the kids play, we actually can send emails to mom and dad, to grandma and grandpa, so they can learn what the kids are learning in real life with this, you know, with the virtual part. And then they can emulate this and do an allowance system and get the kids involved in money. So what we've done is tried to bridge the virtual world of gameplay with the actual world of saving, all the things that you teach all your people.
So cool, Neil. That's excellent. I mean, as I was driving to work this morning, I was thinking to myself, you know, how the kids, I'm thinking they live kind of almost more so than you or I did. You know, they live almost, but not quite, but almost like there's like two worlds, the real world that we interact with. And then they've got this other world. And, you know, I'm trying to get keep the house straight. My wife was away for a few days, and I'm trying to keep the house straight and keep things under control and have it look nice when she gets back. And I'm constantly going in and finding them on the technology. I'm like, okay, this is not going to work, but they love it. And so what you're doing is putting it right where they are.
Exactly. And the whole thing is that we've got to talk to them with the language they can understand. So if we can crack that code, get the kids involved. And I've even partnered with Heifer International, and one of the apps is called Green Street Heifer International, which is a charity. So in the virtual world, the kids can be saving money and earning money to buy a heifer animal. And
oh,
in reality,
cool.
They can do that with grandma and grandpa and mom and dad to actually donate money to get a heifer animal. So again, it's connecting the virtual world and reality. And I'm excited to say that one of my partners on that is Tom Hester, who did Shrek.
Oh,
isn't cool. That cool?
That's very cool.
I know.
That's neat. I admire what you've done. That's you've met and addressed not only what is a little bit of a problem with the kids with technology, but you've turned it from being a, golly, they're on their iPad again. Every time I go in there, oh, they're playing the game on how to learn about money. Okay, never mind. That's cool. Go ahead. You know, that's
well,
just such a great thing.
Well, and this is one that you can feel okay about it.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, I can give them this one.
Yeah. That's good. So is there the one main app or is there multiple apps?
There, if you go into the App Store, if you go into Green Street, which is one word, and look up, you can look up Heifer, H-E-I-F-E-R, International. All three will pop up. And
oh,
they're
cool.
Free. And they're workbooks that you know, your people can get. They can go onto my website and take a look at that. They can also follow me on Forbes. I write for Forbes every week.
Excellent.
So, yeah, Forbes.com, Neil Godfrey, and follow some of the things. I'm trying to, like you, hook the generations together.
Yeah.
Around financial literacy.
Excellent. And the your website, is that the greenstreetcommons.com?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. www.greenstreetcommons.com. Very good. Excellent work. Good for you, Neil. I love it. Okay, so let's dig a little deeper here, because we're going to get into, you know, more about the family and finances, and this is an area that sometimes talked about. I'm not sure if it's talked about enough, or actually if it can be talked about enough, because it really is such a pervasive issue for America, and I imagine there are other issues around the world, but just right here in America. You wrote recently for Forbes, as you mentioned, Dysfunctional Family Finances, the New Reality Game Show or Reality. And so for a lot of people, a lot of couples and relationships, this money thing really is kind of the end-all, do-all, or could be the end of all.
It is. I mean, you know that we argue more about money. It creates stress, and not only at home, but also in the workplace. And we've got to start talking about it.
Well, let's start with why we don't talk about it.
Well, historically, we were raised that polite people don't talk about money. It was always the biggest secret within the family.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because today, even with young couples, they could be having an intimate relationship. And then I'll talk to them and say, well, have you talked about the money part? No, 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 that's personal.
Right. You beat me to it. I was trying to figure out how I could ease into that carefully. And you got there quicker than I did. Good. You did well with that. Well, that is extraordinary because, you know, you could see other things, but you're not looking at my checkbook.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
Well, I don't know. Either one side or the other's messed up. But this is really for couples, this has got to be one of the top things that really can mess up relationships, right? It scores right up there or even higher than other areas in the relationship.
For sure.
Mm.
It creates so much noise, so much angst, so much of the strife within the family. And it's almost every family. You are born with a financial personality. You come into the world that way. It has nothing to do with socioeconomic level, by the way, which I think is interesting.
Right, right.
So you're a saver or a spender in general terms.
Hmm.
And with each of those personalities comes its own problems. I mean, you would think that a saver would be a good thing.
Right.
But Freud would describe that as anal behavior, and it gets to be a fear. And an anxiety around that.
Yeah.
You've all been out. You've been out to dinner, right, with usually your brother-in-law. And it comes check time, and you know he can afford it, and he doesn't get his hand on his wallet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then your wife is in your face on the way home going, I can't believe you paid for dinner again.
Right, right. Well, he's your brother.
Right. Hey, it's not my fault. Right.
News to you, right?
Right.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Do you find, and I'm sure your research, Neil, that there are patterns where a spender will marry a saver, or is it more like kind? What do you see?
I don't necessarily see the financial personalities coming out in the marriage. It turns out that is something that often happens only because it's rare to find someone with exactly the same way that you handle money.
Okay.
If you've discussed it, and if it becomes a value, then someone is going to gravitate toward the person that they feel. But a lot of times, you know, opposites attract.
Right,
so
right.
If someone's outgoing, gregarious, that may indicate that they're also a spender, and then that other person who wants to fill in their personality may be more resident to get out there to live life, and they may be the saver. So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
What I found, this is cool, that even with twins, they can be born with a different financial personality.
How about that? Mm. Interesting. Well, I know in my own marriage, there's definitely one of us is more of the spender and one of us is more of the saver.
I won't ask.
Yeah. Well, I gave it away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a financial planner, but I'm more of a spender than my wife is.
Yeah.
And she's more the saver. And, but, you know, it creates, it's interesting. It creates, like you kind of referred to this, Neil, it creates some anxiety for her. And I'm like, well, look, this is why we do this. And she looks back over time and says, yeah, these were good things that we did. And then there's times when we both look back and go, well, you know, we could have done better on that. And, or I could have done better with this. And it's also, you know, the level of risk taking that it plays right in there with it. You know, I own a business and I'm an entrepreneur. Right. And she works as a guidance counselor at the school.
Right. And so, she has a fixed salary and she knows what that is. Right.
Exactly. So there is, so in my own, you know, household, we've got, you know, we've got your example of a potential for money conflict. And we, now what we've done, hopefully you'll give me a for this. We just make it something we talk about on a regular basis.
Good. Good, good, good. Yes, you get an A for that.
Okay.
Very proud.
I started to break into a sweat.
Yeah.
Beth looked over at me and I started sweating for a minute. Yeah, but it's because I don't know how to do it otherwise. I mean, we try the other way, not talking about it, and it just didn't work.
it doesn't work, and it creates that, I don't want to say it in your case, but a dishonesty sometimes within a relationship.
Oh, no, I think that could definitely be part of it, because if you don't talk about it, and it's, you know, we even joke about it, you know, she had gone to something, and she, I knew she was going to spend some money, I already knew she was going to, and it was like she started telling me about what she did. And I'm like, okay. And I'm doing the numbers in my head. And I'm like, so I said, you spent about this much. And she goes, yeah, about that. And it was kind of funny. But, you know, we know that it just naturally, everybody is a little bit more reluctant to share perhaps everything they spent in that kind of scenario because it's, you know, people don't want to be judged.
Hmm. Well, and, you know, what's interesting is that stress that's created. The largest thing in workplace stress is on health.
Yeah.
Is money.
Yeah.
And like $190 billion was spent on that last year.
Wow. I mean,
yeah. Mm. In terms of what that's going to create. So it's something that bubbles over not only from our personal life, but into our professional life as well.
Yeah, so there's, you know, really, yeah, I was going to say, Neil, there's only one life. It's all together.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and it all bubbles over. It bubbles one way or the other. Neil Godfrey, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today. You can see why we invited her on. Great job, Beth Moodhart, for getting Neil on. And let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past several years, Americans put trillions of dollars into annuities? But despite their popularity, many people aren't sure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake, so some financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Find out about this valuable financial resource. Call Holland Financial today and get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Yes, indeed. Neil Godfrey on the line with us today, ladies and gentlemen, best-selling author, Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, A Parent's Guide to Raising Financially Responsible Children. And you've also got the website, greenstreetcommons.com. A lot of great information over there. And, of course, the app for that. You can go there and look at the Green Street apps and look up Heifer, and you'll find all the ones. There's three of them there that Neil has available on the Apple platform. Neil, we could spend all day talking about the, you know, some of these subjects, and I want to hit a couple if you'll kind of go with me here at touch and go. Millennials, there's a shift here I thought was very interesting. We picked up on in your Forbes article about the millennials, there being a shift in many of them, the couples opting for a single income household, which is really, really surprising to me, because we had, once upon a time, we had a single income household, then we went to dual. And we went through a whole evolution, and now are we starting, is this a trend?
Well, it is interesting. I mean, we see the pendulum swing back and forth at a lot of the millennials who can afford it, by the way,
okay,
are opting to be single income, meaning in most cases still the female staying home to raise the kids.
Right, right. So that, is it a matter of optimizing the family arrangement and what's best for the kids, or is it a new status symbol instead of the BMW as the partner that stays home?
That's interesting. I love that idea. I think some of both.
Okay.
Again, it's a rarefied atmosphere where we don't need two income parents, because in most households, it's the case that both parents are working. We also have bazillions of single moms where it's not, or single dads where it's not an option.
Right.
So, but in a lot of cases, the women are. And then what they're doing is sort of considering that they'll get out of the workplace for a period of time and then go back, which we also know is very difficult once you've been asked to go back.
Kind of like a planned sabbatical, but maybe it doesn't work out as well
it's
as they'd
not
like.
Exactly. It's not so easy.
Yeah. I can get that. I only imagine being out of what I do for, a few months, and I'd feel like I was completely out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Interesting. So here again, we've got some potentials for conflicts with one of the members of this couple being the quote-unquote breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
You've got potential for the one that's making, of course, thinking that they should have more of a say.
And then the conflict starts.
Yeah.
And then as much as we say, oh, I value you being home, raising the kids, then there's somebody who's going to walk home, at night and say, well, you didn't do anything today. You only took care of the children.
Mm. Yeah, just them.
The storm begins.
Yeah. Yeah, just those little cherubs we're trying to make into real people.
Mm. Mm. It's just, hey, right, you don't value what I'm doing. No, but you're only with the kids today. Okay, there you go.
Neil, as you were describing that, I'll bet you there's another conflict that goes on that is where the two income earning couple is they're vying for, no, I want you to go home and stay. They could afford for one of them to stay home, but neither one of them wants to be the one to give up their career.
Right. You try that for a little bit. Tell me how that's working for you.
I'm not doing that. I know better. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Not going near that one. No, because, hey, listen, that for a lot of people, as you well know, Neil, that's, a lot of people's social contact, the value they place on who they are and what they're about, all tied to the workplace.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. So is there a path out of here, a path out of that conflict? What are some things you would suggest?
The whole thing is the communication.
Yeah.
That is the path out. The path out is, this is not easy for me to do for two reasons. To give up my career, because that is part of my identity.
Right.
However, we decided this is really, really important. This is what I'm going to do. But let me now figure out, maybe when the kids are in bed at night, I can do blogs. Maybe I can have a part-time consulting job, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
The other thing is, when that person's been out, let's say, for 10 years out of the workplace, just like you were saying, and decides, ta-da, I'm ready to go back, the world's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily valued, unfortunately, in corporate America, hey, I was home raising the kids for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And that I think it's hard for a lot of people, individuals, corporations, the whole business community, the whole lot of them, it's hard for them to get their mind around that, I think, most of the time.
Right. And I'd love it to be different, but it isn't. We've got to look at this.
Yeah, it would be really helpful if it were different, and I think it takes probably a unique or unusually understanding and maybe outside-the-box thinking employer to see that, because talk about somebody that can come on board with the skills are transferable. They're just not the skills you would necessarily look at going to the corporate world. Yeah.
And we talk a lot about the skills being transferable. Here's the deal. In the world of technology and what's going on, they're not as transferable.
Mm.
Yes, you're managing a schedule, but let's be honest. Diapers don't have that much to do with a STEM career. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, unless the diapers have some embedded technology.
Unless there's embedded technology.
Yeah. They are talking about wearables now, Neil, so I mean,
I'm just not up with what's going on. You've got your Uber kid.
But,
and again, I'm not saying you have to. What I would like to see is a hybrid situation.
Yeah.
Where, especially in the day of the entrepreneurs who can stay at home.
Yeah.
Who can do things, who can keep up, who, could write, could do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge, I think, for this generation. It is hard, and it's a challenge for this generation, and it will probably be, as you talked about earlier, the pendulum swinging, and maybe this will be another thing that swings, and our culture, our society will, you know, evolve, and some of these things will become more integrated. Technology, ironically, may allow that with all of course, as you know, Neil, the remote work and the virtual realities that are coming of being able to be in a meeting in your pajamas from your house.
And I can attest to the pajama meetings that I do from my from my house. Unfortunately, when the Skype opens up and they're sitting there going, are you in your pajamas? Yeah. So you can get caught. But that is the point. You know, that is the point in our world.
That's so funny. I was thinking of, I had a flashback to the Jetsons when the Mrs. Jetson, her face would come off. Remember that? She had like that, the fake face. And
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking for the fake face.
I've been to LinkedIn. I see who you are. You're all right. You're okay.
Listen. I like the fake face.
Be quicker, right?
Yeah, I'm just, how much quicker getting, you know, that mask you can wear in the morning.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. But, you know, I mean, and there's, just because you're home doesn't mean that you don't have to, you know, have the ability to be thinking forward to doing things and stay in touch and do all that.
Right.
So I think that that's something that is really important for the millennials, and to have that conversation.
Agreed.
If you don't have that conversation, you know what happens.
Yep. Well, the statistics don't support it working out.
Right.
Neil Godfrey, ladies and gentlemen, best-selling author. You see why she's on the show. Excellent. Appreciate her insight. We're going to grab a quick break. We're going to come back and shift the subject and talk about lottery winners. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations. And yes, to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back. Neil Godfrey on the line. Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, A Parent's Guide to Raising Financially Responsible Children. That's the book. And of course, you can get a lot more good information about what Neil's doing, greenstreetcommons.com. And I threw it out there for you because I just got to talk to you a little bit about the lottery winners, Neil. How stupid can you be with your money? Ask lottery winners. That was a recent article that you wrote for Forbes, and so I'll bite. Let's talk about that because I've threatened to write about this myself and just haven't gotten to it. I think it's fascinating how this all plays out for people that have this, we call sudden wealth come into their life. And what have you seen and what can we learn from it?
Crazy. When I had done a show for Oprah years ago, and she had me go around the country to talk to lottery winners who won over $100 million and went bankrupt.
Wow.
Right. And the statistics then were 85% of all lottery winners declared bankruptcy, and it hasn't changed at all. And I'm talking big lottery winners. So she had me. The most vivid example was I was out in Texas, and there was a family of husband-wife team who won twice over $100 million, one time $150 and the other like $125 or something.
Don't tell me they went bankrupt the second
twice,
time.
Twice.
Come on.
And, no, twice. And you would have loved this, though, because I was out there, and I was doing B-roll. I was doing the taping before the show.
Right.
And so I've got, you know, the director and the producer, and we're out there. It was killing me. So I'm there trying to be Miss Professional and saying, are you kidding?
Right.
Are you kidding?
Right.
You're that stupid?
Wow.
Twice you did this and you declared they were living in a trailer.
I don't know what to say to that.
No, and that's what happened to me. And my head was blowing up. They could see my face getting red because I was just... And then, of course, this is not beyond me. I said to them, Do you have a system of playing numbers
right.
that you could perhaps share with me?
Yeah.
I'll take care of you forever if we win.
Yes.
Because I can't let this happen to you.
I'll give you an allowance.
I'll give you an allowance. I'll put you, I will find a financial planner. We will not let this happen because you can't be that stupid. And they were talking about it like it was matter of fact. Well, friends and family were in, and they had a scheme,
yeah.
and they were going to do this.
We're victims.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course. But there is some truth to that. And, you know, this is where, if this ever happens, anybody listening to this program, seek financial planning advice first and foremost.
Give them out your number.
Yeah, I mean, good grief. Hey, listen, it's like that old commercial for Charter. You know, if you don't get help from here, get help from somewhere.
Right.
You know, good grief. I mean, family and friends, you know, what do they know? They know what you got.
No, they know what you've got. And that's exactly. And it's dum, 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 dum. You know, the shark fin is up in the water, and they
yeah.
will. And they feel entitled. Oprah had me work with her family for a while, which didn't work out real successfully because her family felt entitled.
Ooh.
And there was a bottomless pit. And she bought houses, and then they remortgaged their home.
Get out. Oh, good grief.
Exactly. So if there's a situation like that where there's uneven earning within the family, I'm not even talking lottery winners.
Right.
Uneven earning. You've got to decide what are you going to give as a gift.
Right.
Lending, you know,
is not
doesn't
a, it's
work.
A gift. It's a gift.
Gift. What are you going to gift? And how is it going to work? And then you need to articulate it and make it finite, and that's it. End of story.
Hmm. Well, yeah, because there you take money and you put it in family conflict, and it's gasoline on the fire. Yeah.
And you will be, by the way, the bad guy.
Of course. Let's just start with that and expect it. All right, Neil. Well, we're going to have to run, but boy, I love it. Neil Godfrey, ladies and gentlemen, best-selling author of the book, Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, A Parent's Guide to Raising Financially Responsible Children, so that if they win the lottery, they know what to do with it. Neil, thank you very, very much for being on the program.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.